Happy daylight savings. We made it through another winter. I'm so excited.
This is my favorite. I like it when we get more light. I wish we could be on daylight savings time all the time.
I think we all. I mean, is there actually someone out there that's like, no, no, I don't need the extra
light? Well, don't tell us if that's you. Yeah, because we want to live in our happy little sunshiny bubble.
Exactly. I went and I was resetting a clock. Electronics, God love them, they're great. But there are times when you're just like, this clock, how in the world? It's like the old VCRs. You're just like, just going to let it blink. Mm-hmm. But I walked up and I turned it around and I was like, oh, I had written a note in Sharpie on the back of this clock explaining to myself. And I was like, thank you, past me, for thinking of future me. So, yeah, we just talked about that in episode 57. And I was like, I love you, girl. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I love little surprises like that where I'm like, yeah, thanks, me. Great job. So here's your reminder right now to write on the back of your microwave or whatever how to change the clock.
Exactly. You're welcome for that little tidbit of information. Hi, I'm Christina.
And I'm Megan, and this is the Full Cup Club podcast.
If you've been knocked down, we're here to cheer you on as you get back up.
So whether your cup has coffee, tea, or vodka in it, welcome to the Full Cup Club.
Hey friends, on today's episode, we are going to talk about protecting your peace. Sometimes after we lose someone or we go through something really hard or big change, our peace is really important. I mean, you don't even have to go through something hard to need to protect your peace. So we want to talk about that today. But before we begin, Megan, I see you. You just took a big swig of something and I just caught you right in the middle of a drink. Okay, you so did. Share with us, what is in your cup? What is literally in your cup and metaphorically in your cup?
So literally I'm drinking a grapefruit LaCroix, back to basics over here with the standard LaCroix flavors I love so much. Mm-hmm. I have it actually says pamplemousse. I don't know. That's probably not. Yes. Pamplemousse? No.
I think it's pamplemousse. I think so. That's what our family calls it.
French, so there's like a more to it. I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Like more accent.
I was gonna say my family's from the South, so maybe it's
this was mine.
Maybe, but not, maybe that's, yeah,
I don't know, but anyway, it's that one. Yeah, I'm from the South, but like the city in the South, not like you know,
highfalutin.
Yeah, I think sweet tea is fine. Like,
my family shows up and they're like, why have you not made me sweet tea? I've been here 5 minutes. Yeah.
And then what was the other question? What is metaphorically in my cup?
Filling your cup. I said that wrong because we usually say what is not just in your cup, but what is filling your
right.
cup?
You did say it wrong, and I'm so glad you owned that for everybody. No, I'm just kidding. What is filling my cup? That it's daylight savings time, that we get that extra hour of daylight. So the older I get, the worse it's gotten, where I just cannot with cloudy weather. I want sunshine 24/7. Summer is my favorite month, even though it's 200 degrees here in Texas, like, because you get those long days with all the sun and there's not as many like cloudy, stormy, or just like cloudy, cold kind of days. Though I cannot thrive in that kind of environment. I'm like a lizard.
You're like a blue-belly lizard.
Or like a cactus. Don't come near me. Let me just bask in the sunlight.
Oh, man. That was a good visual because you're not necessarily somebody who likes to be hugged. So,
you don't even have to like beat around the bush like that. I do not want a hug.
Like, like the first and one and only time I have been in the presence of Megan, I knew she did not like to be hugged. And so I just like walked up and she put her arms out and I was like, okay, this is the sign.
It was a special occasion. But yeah, you have to be welcomed in like a vampire.
Trying not to smart like a pig. Okay. Oh my gosh. Pulling it together. Tears. Wow. Okay. Sorry. I read too many vampire books in my life. That was just too good. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? The other thing though,
like a drama, just like pulling it together.
Unrelated to like sunshine. I have a new like recording setup. Where I don't know if it sounds different. I hope it does because I made this like sound dampening situation. So I feel like mm-hmm. legit recording, like legit podcasting. Even though this is like a homemade little thing, I just feel like, okay, we've made it. This is episode 59. Are we on 59?
I think so. I'm going to just trust you on that. Let's go for it.
We're middle-aged. 59. Our podcast is middle-aged. And I finally got like a sound dampening situation from my microphone. So that's pretty exciting.
And then there's me who's in there, my closet, and I just like part the clothes and like stick everything in between. You know, and so the clothes are actually my sound dampening. So you're super techie over there.
I mean, I am pretty tech savvy. You're not wrong. But this is not a technologically – this is not that. Okay, what are you drinking today? What's filling your cup physically and metaphorically?
So it's early in the morning here and it's daylight savings. So I am – and when I say early in the morning –
it's noon.
It's noon. It's noon. Oh my gosh, what is in our cups today? We did not add like Irish cream or anything to our cups, I promise you. But that sounds tasty. Okay, so I am still drinking my coffee. That's where we're at on that. What is filling my cup? Like winter. I don't do well in winter. It's just
me neither.
And we get one less hour of light than you guys do in Texas. Do you know that in the winter?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a full yeah.
I'm not surprised
and
by that.
And then we have the rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a wow. So the best thing I can do in the wintertime is make sure that I'm exercising. And I mean, can we guess what Christina's going to talk about?
I think it probably rhymes with schmickle schmall.
Yes, bam. So pickleball is – so if you are somebody who's struggling getting through the winters, find something fun to do to exercise if you're struggling. It makes all the difference. This is my thing to do in the wintertime or in the summertime, but it definitely has helped me in the wintertime. So yeah, playing pickleball has been so much fun and hanging out with people and doing all the things. And yeah, so I won't keep going on for my love for pickleball.
I think my challenge with finding something fun to do exercise-wise in the wintertime is time. Not so much like the activity, but like my schedule is such, and I think a lot of people, you know, you work like 8 to 5 or whatever, or even just any kind of full-time schedule. It's hard to find mm-hmm. that time yeah. when it's sunny outside to do something outside or, you know, because it gets dark so yeah. much earlier and then mm-hmm. just, yeah.
And who wants to leave their house? Like once you're home, you're just right. like, I want to put my soft clothes
well, that's, you know,
on. I don't want to leave.
Correct. And so we made a little garage gym because we were like, oh, we are not likely to leave the house to go exercise, especially in the winter, yeah. you know, and then having it in, you know, so close, it's like, oh, okay, well, we can, you know, work out in the morning or at lunch or whatever, because we work from home a lot too. Still haven't. I mean, we do sometimes, but it has not become this routine that I thought it would having it so close, mm-hmm. you know, because there's still the problem of, oh, I have my soft clothes on. I have to go change to work out.
Okay. So here's my thing. Here's my thing for all of you who have home gyms. I feel like the reason for a home gym is because this might be shocking, but you can work out in your pajamas. You can work out in your soft clothes. Just do it. Just go for a walk, get on your elliptical in your pajamas, whatever you got to do. I feel like it's more about creating the routine, which is what you're talking about, getting into the habit of it, of just like, okay, for week one, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's all you're allowed to do for the first week is 5 minutes. And then the next week are like 10 minutes because you know that when you get on there for 5 minutes, you're going to like start looking at TikTok or start watching a video and then you're on there for a while, but just five minutes.
I also find that like
in your pajamas it up
is helpful. Like if I go 2 weeks walking on the treadmill for half an hour or whatever, I am so bored of walking on the treadmill, you know? I have the extra complication of some pretty cool injuries to deal with. So anyway, this is not an episode about Megan's difficulty with exercising.
The random stuff. But no, like people, this is something that we deal with, like in reality for a lot of people trying to get into a routine. And it is part of what we're going to talk about today about preserving your peace. Exercise is a great way to help with that.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about preserving our peace. I mean, if you haven't heard Megan say it, or maybe she just says it to me, it is super important to me to preserve my peace. And almost immediately after losing Michael, it was this boundary that went up where people would try to come over to my house and it was like, no, no. And I had never been like that before. And so this is an ongoing process for me to preserve my peace.
Yeah.
And I want to share something with you. This has been a recent revelation for me. So one of the things I've realized recently is that I am someone who is used to living in a high state of anxiety. It is normal for me. I grew up that way. And when you grow up that way, you don't realize that there's any other way to live. So I think of it like a snow globe, where that somebody shakes a snow globe and all of the snow is flying around. And it's only been recently that in my life, the snow has settled. And I'm looking around going, oh, this is normal. It's not normal to live in a blizzard. But what happens sometimes when you've grown up in a blizzard is that you don't realize that what you've done in your life is, because that's normal, you become the person who shakes that snow globe. You become the person who adds anxiety to the situation by adding things to your life that are not maybe healthy for you, or being around people who are not helping you to stay calm and not live in a blizzard.
We talked about that. And when we talked about the Brené Brown book that we just read, we talked about it was like the Viking or victim when we were talking about that, where, you know, if you're, if you've constantly lived in this one, like with this one mindset of a victim mindset, right? Then that's what's kept you alive this far. So that's what you go back towards. So what you're saying, it's not the victim mindset, but it's the same thing, the same idea where you're choosing to go back to, you know, whatever environment has kept you alive. And even though that's chaotic.
Yes. And so it's this idea of once you recognize that that's what you're doing, you need to go and honor that, that this is, you've done things, coping mechanisms, I can't even talk, that there are things that from your childhood that you've done, because this is a place of, you know, this place is normal to you, and you honor that. And then you say, okay, how do we move forward with this? What is a healthier way to move forward? And so that's something that I have been doing recently. And I wanted to share, and you're the same way. You're very much about like, okay, this person is not bringing peace into my life. And so, so what we wanted to talk about today is, why is it important to protect your peace? And what does it look like when you protect your peace? What are the things that you're doing to protect that? And so welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. 15 minutes of the episode, we finally start talking about it.
Oh man, I just feel like we're all over it today. But you know what? Let's just blame it on the time change. So for me, protecting my peace means me having more bandwidth. And the reason I have more bandwidth is because my brain is not dealing with all of the anxiety that comes with, oh my gosh, like this person is bringing drama into my life, or I'm allowing this person to bring drama into my life. And so my brain doesn't have to try to keep track of all of those things. So that's one way for me that it it provides me more bandwidth. My muscles are more relaxed. I don't have that constant nagging feeling. So those are some things that when I'm protecting my peace, that's what it looks like in my life. What about you?
Yeah, for me, it's similar in that, like, I think that you naturally have more bandwidth when you're choosing what you're allowing in, you know? I think that it's more like I am lowering, like I'm calming down. So I feel like when my peace is not protected, when I'm unguarded, I just feel very anxious all the time. So every little thing adds up and makes it worse and worse and worse. And I'm just constantly just like on edge and stressed out, you know? But protecting my peace is like not letting it get to that point, because I haven't allowed the things that usually stress me out to do that, because I've stopped them, or I've had somebody help me, or whatever, you know? Like, it feels like, you know, like when you just scribble on paper, that's what it feels like in my brain when I am when I need to do better at protecting my peace, you know?
I recently went through a guided, I don't know what to call it, but it was working with somebody on going back and walking through childhood wounds. And in the process of doing that, you're literally visualizing yourself as a kid and talking about the things that you needed as a kid. And one of the things that you walk away with is this reality of like that little kid is still inside of you and those wounds are still there and you need to protect that person, because sometimes we can't think about protecting ourselves. We're not ready to, but we would protect a small child. We would protect them from certain people coming into our lives or putting them from in certain situations. And so that has been something that really helped me to see, is this person that I'm around, is this somebody that I would let a small child around? Is this situation a situation I would put a small child in? And then recognizing that's you. And it was really eye-opening. And then also to put, if you need to, put a picture of yourself as a child up so that you see, that you remember, like you would protect her or him.
I only recently learned how to like protect my peace. And I think it's just since Jason died, because I had to, you know, it was like I was forced into like having to focus on preserving as much of my own self as possible, because, you know, I've said before, like I was not operating at 100%. I had to do what I could to function, you know? So I've only, you know, in the past 5 years done this. But something that's really stressful for me is mess and clutter, you know, it's and it stacks up and compounds. And it's like every room has some little area that just needs to be tidied, or, you know, there's just like this pile of mail that needs to be gone through, or like all the towels that we've washed in the past 18 months just like need to be folded and put away instead of like in a pile in the laundry room, you know. It's like all these little things add up. And I, when my house is clean and tidied, I feel this sense of calm, you know. And it's like I almost don't realize, it's like a frog in a pot. I don't realize the water's boiling until I'm cooking, you know, but protecting your, but protecting your peace is more like recognizing what's going to heat the water up, you know, and it's like, how can we nip that in the bud and stop it so that we don't boil?
Yes. And that's such a great thing to bring up, is just recognizing what it is that is creating that in your life. Because again, like me, like when you don't know, you don't even realize that it's happening or what's triggering it if you've never been in a place of peace to start with.
Yeah.
And so
that's a good point.
It's just like this really hard thing to get to. And not all, you know, not everybody's going to have that privilege to be in a place in life where they can stop and find that. But yes, even if it's 5 minutes of peace to find that in your life, we want to encourage you to do that. So, I mean, like you, I love that you talked about your home. I can't even speak. Your home being a place of peace, and it, when it's clean, it brings you calm. And so if that is something that you find, I would encourage you, even if it's just your desk, if you start with your desk. I know when my kids were growing up, it was just chaos. Mm-hmm. And I just, my job at my job, like at, that's where I could keep everything organized. And sometimes it's just creating that small space of peace. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe mm-hmm. right now you're going through really hard stuff and your whole home is in chaos, but your bedroom is a place that you can find peace. Mm-hmm. And if that's doing soft lighting in there, but if, you know, somewhere you can keep the kids out of, if you have little ones and you guys are going through hard things, maybe it's just your bedroom. Maybe it's your closet where you lock yourself in your closet or something just yeah. to have 5 minutes.
I think something that's helpful, like if you're dealing with hard stuff, like, you know, like if somebody dies, is to keep your common areas tidy. They're like the main areas you're in your house, like the ones that you see the most, walking through the kitchen, the living room, whatever. If yes. those places, if everything is put away in those places, it's helpful, you know, it's calming
yes.
to sit in a place that is not cluttered. And like, I know, listen, I have a kid and he was once very little and he had toys. So I get it. That like, you know, that's an issue, but like, you know, it's a reality, but there are, just get a tub, mm-hmm. a bin for toys and just teach them to put them away. Like,
I remember when Michael, you brought something up about the areas being tidy after maybe you lose someone. I remember like I just had a moment where, do you ever have people who are in your home? And if you've recently lost someone or you have lost one, you may know this, like people come in and they help you. And, or if I have guests that are staying for like a week or something, things get put in different places. And I had people in my home and things were out of place. And I just had like a moment of freak out in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed everything to be in its home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that person, but it was just, yeah. So mm-hmm. I definitely relate to what you're saying is, Liz, in those times, it's like you just need things to be normal
right.
when you're, mm-hmm. you know, when the world seems like chaos. Sometimes just the small space of normalcy can really bring you comfort and peace.
Mm-hmm.
I know one place that did not bring me comfort after losing Michael was our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was just such a, you know, it's a place that you're like sleeping every night with this person and you're cuddled up, and it just did not bring me peace. And mm-hmm. what I had to do, and I know you've talked about this too with your bedroom, but I really had to redo a lot of things and I had to make it a place of peace.
Right.
By bringing different elements in and mm-hmm. different lighting. I brought the salt lamp in and some plants and just different things like that. Softer yeah. things. Lighting was definitely like mood lighting in there. That helped. So
I had to do that too. I moved around my bedroom. Like I moved the furniture around and decorated it how I wanted to. And it was more like decorating it and making the house mine instead of ours. Making the choices, choosing the things. And this wasn't immediate. This was, you know, this took some time, probably obviously. But yeah, in the bedroom, in the living room, just taking those spaces and making them mine. And then I mm-hmm. also would, because clutter and mess is such a trigger for me, I would mm-hmm. take a small area and declutter it. So like it would be the junk drawer in the kitchen. I would go through it, keep the stuff we needed, organize it with like a drawer organizer, and then get rid of the rest. Or like a single cabinet, right? Like the pots and pans cabinet, organize that. Or, mm-hmm. you know, one closet. So like these small spaces over time really made a big difference, as long as they stayed tidy, which like, 80%. We're doing our best.
Yeah. And if you've recently lost your person, do not start with their stuff. Do not.
Oh my gosh.
Don't go through their drawers. I love that you and I, when we met, you had stuff. And you were like, one day you're like, this basket. I mean, how long? Jason had been gone a few years. And you were like, this basket has been sitting here. And one day you were like, I just did it.
Yeah, it, in our bedroom, his he had like a laundry hamper in the bedroom, like a laundry basket, mm-hmm. like one that with a lid. It wasn't like mm-hmm. a basket you carry. It was like a decorative thing, mm-hmm. you know. It was just like in a corner of the bedroom, and I didn't do anything with it. I just like left it, and it had his dirty clothes in it. Like it was probably a year, between a year and a year and a half after he died that finally I was like, I need to wash these and get rid of this.
Yeah, we were friends. And mm-hmm. what was helpful for me is seeing you do that, because it took me a long time to do that with Michael's stuff. That's only been a recent thing. And so if you are listening to this, we are not suggesting that you jump up and do your person's stuff.
Right.
If you have the time, just, you know, here's your permission to –
start with something
go
else.
Go work on a junk drawer.
Yeah. Or like fold the blankets that you have in your living room. Like it can be as simple as just, mm-hmm. you know, just tidying. It doesn't even have to be getting rid of stuff. But that is something that really helped me create peace in my life mm-hmm. when it was so chaotic. And now my life is chaotic in a different way. Like it's just busy with, you know, family stuff, right? So I still struggle mm-hmm. with keeping a clean house, but because it messes with me so much, I have to prioritize it, you know, mm-hmm. because of how it affects me, like mentally. It is mental health for me to have a clean house. It's not just about mm-hmm. it being clean. It's about like my brain.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I didn't even know, because I lived in chaos for so many years mm-hmm. With our home, with two kids and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't know until after Michael died, and it was like all cleaned up and organized. And I didn't realize how important that was. So mm-hmm. that is a newer thing to me to have that piece. And now I feel it. Like today, my house is like, it's just in disarray. And as soon as we're done here.
Oh, the same. When we're done recording, my office is getting a full clean. we've talked about bringing peace, like creating peace in your home quite a bit. But there's some other ways mm-hmm. that you can create peace or just protect your own. And my favorite way to do that I've only recently learned is to tell people no. Is to say, no, I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. No, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go there. No, I don't have time for this. And I'm such mm-hmm. a yes person, people pleaser. Like I'm a reformed people pleaser is how I like to think about it. So just telling people no, and you don't have to be a jerk about it, but just being like, no, I don't have, you know, I don't have the time or the energy to do that. Let's reschedule, or let's just not. You know, mm-hmm. can we not instead?
Yeah. A lot of times if we grew up with caregivers or somebody who didn't make us feel safe, a lot of times we're hyper vigilant about other people's needs and we self-abandon. That's
relatable.
Really hard. It's hard for us. to tell people no and think of ourselves. I love the holistic psychiatrist on Instagram putting someone else's needs before your own isn't selfish. It's self-abandonment. Society glorifies this, and it's a massive reason why so many of us are unwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we self-abandon, and it's just – it comes from us, you know, watching maybe a parent, a caregiver, whoever that was, who their needs were more important than ours. And we're watching them, we're trying to make things safe, and so we abandon ourselves. And then eventually I saw somebody the other day talking about that we do it to ourselves as adults. Maybe mm-hmm. the parent abandoned us when we were kids and didn't meet our needs, but now as an adult, we turn around and we do it to ourselves. We make sure other people's needs are met and we don't say no. And this is definitely a thing for me that I've worked on in the last 10 years. So I 100%, yeah. So this idea of that's helped me is to ask myself, am I giving out of lack or out of abundance? And that has helped my peace a lot. Do I actually have this to give? I saw Brené Brown talking about the most generous people are the people with good boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I know people with good boundaries. And I'm like, what? You think of them as being jerks because they say no. At least for me, I'm like, they say no. They straight out will say no to people. Nope, can't do that. But if you think about it, they're the ones who are the most generous with their time because they know, like, I'm giving this out of abundance. And so that has helped me a lot to be like, oh, yeah, I want to give out of abundance, not out of lack.
Right. Yeah.
And then I love the idea too, that this idea that resentment grows out of perceived unfairness. And so we can start feeling resentful when we're like, oh, we're doing all of these things for this person. And the reality is they didn't ask us to do that. Mm-hmm. We are just self-abandoning and doing this for them. Mm-hmm. And it's us. And I think a lot of that is, it's important to go back and examine when we're looking at our peace, going back and saying, why am I not at peace? And recognizing a lot of times it's about us. It is absolutely not about the people around us. They're not doing this to us. There's something that maybe people around us they're triggering something in us, mm-hmm. and it's not them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that quote. Resentment grows out of perceived unfairness.
I want to say that was Mike Foster. I like following his account on Instagram. Mm. He has some great quotes, if I can talk. Quote. An experience not long ago where I was with some people and I felt triggered by somebody. And I recognized that I needed to leave the situation. Mm-hmm. And really had to sit and reflect on that and examine what was going on. And I recognized that was something in me. That was not that person, because I'm sure other people have a great time around them, but that triggered something in me and that was on me and I had to remove myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really important when you're trying to preserve your peace, is recognizing what is triggering you. Is it family? Is it, you know, people around you? And then stopping and asking yourself what's going on.
It definitely takes a lot of introspection. So mm-hmm. you have to really know yourself and be able to get down to the root of the problem, because it's so easy to be like, well, you know, my family is intruding on my peace by leaving their shit everywhere, you know, but that's resentment. And mm-hmm. if we really drill down to it, it's like, oh, actually, it's the clutter that's the problem, not the people. And maybe they don't mm-hmm. realize that about me, that it's really hard for me to exist in a space like this, you know, to function. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be able to, like, really drill down to the problem so that you can do, you know, so that you can protect your peace, so that you can do it effectively.
Mm-hmm. So we want to encourage you, as always, like, we want to give you some really tangible advice. And so protecting your peace, think about it if you started just like we talked about earlier with exercise, mm-hmm. 5 minutes a day. Yep. So for 5 minutes a day, you're going to create this peace that could be sitting and in your favorite comfy chair, putting on a meditation, dimming the lights, just for those 5 minutes. What does that look like to you? Does that mm-hmm. mean talking to a plant for 5 minutes, whatever that looks like for you, locking yourself in the bathroom so that you can take a shower. Here's my, like, fun little, mm-hmm. call it lame, whatever. But if you have little kids or just chaos in your life, it may mean taking a shower with a nightlight on versus your overhead lighting, mm-hmm. you know, to create mood, to create just this different atmosphere.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, find it and do that thing 5 minutes a day. Now, here's my other thing. Go to your calendar and put a sticker on your calendar. Like, I did this. I created 5 minutes of peace today. And that way you can see every day, hey, I did this. I created this 5 minutes of peace.
Mm-hmm. It could be like going to sit.
Ambulance going by is not peaceful.
Speaking of, take their sticker away. It could be sitting in your car, you know, just like taking a minute for yourself. It doesn't have to be something. I feel like meditating is such a buzzword, and it's like this scary thing to, like, I don't know how to do it, you know, but really it's just like sitting by yourself in silence, you know, just like breathing. You like to go to the beach to sit and look at the ocean. You have the luxury to like live close to the beach to do that. Exactly. But I mean, maybe there's somewhere else outside, somewhere in your yard, or going on a brief walk like around your neighborhood. I did that after Jason died. I used to go on what I would call sunset walks. He died in the summer. We had those long summer days. So at like 7:30 at night, I'd go out and go for a walk, and the sun would be setting and the sky would be really pretty. So I used to go on sunset walks, and that was really helpful. And I would listen to like new music and, you know, like listen to playlists I hadn't heard before. So it was just very pleasant, you know, apart from the whole dead husband thing.
Yeah, there's that.
but anyway, it doesn't have to be, you know, a whole crazy thing. It's just being intentional about doing that for yourself.
Yeah. And if, you know, in closing, if you're going, well, I don't even know what peace feels like. I've lived in a snow globe and things are chaotic and it's just constantly being shaken. Is there, if you were to stop and think about it, I had this thing I have that, and I'm not going to share what it is, but when I go to have blood drawn, I'm not very good at it. And I always try to think of this one scenario, and that is the place that I find peace. That specific scenario that I'm thinking of. And can you think of what it is when you're trying to think of being at peace? Is it a place? Is it a person to identify that peace, that thing that brings you comfort, that thing that brings you peace? And once you identify, like, hold on to that feeling and figure out what that is. And then what's going to happen is the next time you find it, if it's a bedroom, if it's people that you're around and you're like, oh, I recognize this. This is the same peace that I felt in this situation or around this person. Maybe your spouse was somebody who brought you peace and you have not felt that peace. If you connect with that and allow yourself to feel that, then you will recognize it in the future and be able to find it. At least that is what I have found.
And it's about taking like a little bit back at a time, you know? So the snow doesn't suddenly settle and, you know, tulips don't suddenly start sprouting. It's like over time it settles, the clouds clear up, the snow melts, the grass starts to grow, and then the seeds start to grow, and then the flowers start to bloom like over time. So.
I just want to say that, like, you're welcome for the background noises of Lottie snoring and
I can't hear her
while we're doing this episode. Oh, good. Oh, good. Because it's pretty rough in here.
Good thing you can't smell a podcast.
You're welcome. You're welcome for that.
Okay, friends. So if you find our podcast helpful or entertaining or fun or charming or just even like good, if you could leave a review or rate us, that helps us be shown to more people. So the more interaction our podcast has, the more downloads, the more ratings, the more reviews it has on every platform. So like Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. The more likely it is to be shown as an option for other people listening to similar type podcasts. So if you could leave us a review, we would love it forever. We love you so much. Thanks for being here. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook and our new website, folkhopepodcast.com. And we appreciate you. So
yes,
Okay, friends, the time has come. So whether your cup is empty, half full, or overflowing, raise it up. Here's to getting back up.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Please subscribe to our podcast if you found it helpful. And you can also find us on social media on Instagram at Full Cup Club Podcast. And if you search Full Cup Club Podcast on Facebook. Again, thanks, friends, and we'll see you next time.